the salt time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, the world's getting crazier and crazier and crazier. Glad you joined us here this morning. I started a little bit of a firestorm yesterday. It was a good firestorm, actually. Didn't mean to do it. In fact, I wrote that commentary yesterday about masculine men and feminine women. And when I was done writing it, I just write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I really do. And I was right. When I write, I start out with a title. And I start out with a title, and I just start going. So I started out yesterday with a title on the commentary that was posted at newswithviews.com, and you can find it at coachdavelive.com. I started with a working title of Feminism is Destroying Women. That was my working title. And I got gone, and I started writing about my wife and my kids, blah, blah, blah. And I got down, and all of a sudden, I was going a different direction. And I went a different direction because, again, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And I got thinking overnight, about how many words that we are using that are meaningless words, that they have absolutely grabbed a hold of the words and they become part of our lexicon and we adopt and use those words. For instance, feminism, the root word is, as we said yesterday, is feminine. And there's no femininity at all in feminism. The whole idea of feminism is they want manly qualities for women. That's the entire central focus of feminism, is for women to be like men. That's the entire focus of it. You understand that? Yet they call it feminism when it isn't. It isn't. And when I shared with people that comment, you wouldn't believe the emails I got from people saying, oh, my goodness, feminine. Yes, feminine, women, feminine. Yeah, yeah. And then as those of us who went to the homo parade, we know this, that those lesbians marching in that parade, those lesbians, they're not feminine. They're masculine, right? And the average lesbian, there may be some exceptions, but I always said this, that if a true lesbian was a true lesbian, me and a lesbian ought to be fighting over the same girl, same beautiful feminine girl. But that's not the way it is. The lesbian women are looking for women who look like men. That's feminism. That's what they're calling feminism. It shows how this right-wing watch material coming up. It shows how deluded, deceived, demonic, whatever, use whatever term you want to. They don't even know what they're attracted to. You know, Rush Limbaugh, one of his 28 undeniable truths of life, he wrote it 30 years ago. He said the women's movement, feminism, was created for unattractive women to find a place into society. And I, you know, this would just sound horrible, but I'm going to say it. I go places, I walk into Walmart. Yeah, I go in there sometimes. Go to Kroger's, go wherever, I walk in there. And you know what I really realize? Man, some people are really ugly. They really are. And I look at some women that are, I see in Kroger's or Walmart, and I think, golly, that poor thing, how will she ever find a man? How will she ever find a man? And so I understand the desire of women to have somebody that loves them, somebody who, you know, nobody likes to be alone. And so one ugly, I'm just going to say it, JR, they can be as mad as they want to. One ugly woman finds another ugly woman, and they become partners. I get it. I get it. But the entire feminist movement is based on anything except femininity. And just as bad, men are being feminized. The feminism movement is feminizing men. And so when we looked up that thing yesterday on masculinity, you started talking about being rugged and macho and aggressive and all those things that men are, all the things that really, truly draw a woman to a man are being X'd out of men. It's hard to find. I think I'm a manly man. But I think my wife would tell you, so if I could get her down here and get my arm around her neck, I think she'd tell you I'm a pretty loving, caring guy to her, to my children, to girls. I am. And I know this, if you ask Michelle, she would tell you this. She feels safe when she's with me. What happened to that idea? This whole idea that men and women are equal. And as I put in the commentary yesterday, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Created equal, meaning when they come out of the womb, they're equal in the eyes of the Lord. They're equal in the eyes of the law. But they're not equal in talents and abilities. There's no way. That's not what it means. And when a woman comes out of the womb, she's just as equal as a man in the eyes of God. I hate to tell you this. Her skill set's not the same as a man's. It's not. And I said this a number of times. It's got me in trouble. We live out here in the middle of the cornfield. And if I dial 911, if somebody's breaking into my house, some big burly guy's breaking into my house, and I dial 911, the last thing I want's a woman showing up. I'm just telling you, I want some big, fat, donut-eating cop with a big gun. I don't want some woman coming. I mean, is that sexist? Is that sexist? Well, that is crazy. If I'm choosing a pickup basketball game, I don't want a girl. I want a guy. I want a guy that's going to get down there and block out and throw some elbows and get his butt against the other guy and push. Is that sexist? When did that become sexist? What is wrong? Why can't men play in the women's NBA? Why aren't men? I wrote off the top of my head yesterday about masculine rights. Where's the March for Masculine Rights? Where is that? My right to be a man. And in fact, we should only have one professional basketball league, and that's the professional basketball league. And if the women make it, they make it. But to have their own league and somehow call that equal? See, everywhere we look, there's evidence that feminism and equality are not true. It's bogus. It's not true. Yet we continue this charade. And I was talking to Rich before we went on the air and some of the guys that are in the queue. I was talking to him before we went on the air. There's just so many things that are lies that we just accept and tolerate and look the other way that just aren't true. And yesterday I made a statement that just came out of nowhere. God is love, they tell us. And Jesus is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, right? I am the truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus, the Son of God, huh? You see me, you see the Father, Scripture says, right? My Father and I are one and the same, right? We understand that? So if God is love and Jesus is truth, what does that tell you? That the only expression of love is truth. Yet we operate on so much lies. Our entire society, cultural makeup, is taught and functions off of lies. Women and men are equal in the eyes of the law, but they're not. They're equal in the eyes of God, but they're not equal. Let's stop this foolishness. Let's stop telling little girls that they can do what boys can do. Hey, Rich, they can't. They can't. Little girls cannot do what boys can do unless they make little boys feminine like girls. Then they can. You see it everywhere, don't you? See it everywhere. So I hit onto something yesterday, and I'm not going to stay on it today, but I think until we get it, until we understand, as I said yesterday, I tried to soften those signs a little bit. We're taken to D.C., and boy, Roger got mad, and Jared got mad, and some others got mad. They're all putting the clutch on. Got to pull back. Now we got to go with the truth because God is love and Jesus is the truth and they're the same. They're one and the same. We have to speak the truth. Hang on. Oh, this just came to me. How can you not speak the truth in love? People say that, don't they? Hey, JR, speak the truth in love. Oh, wait a minute. The truth is love. The truth is love. hearing it but me? I got a revelation. I had an epiphany. The truth is love. The truth is love. See, love is not lying to somebody. Love is not lying. You divide God. You're a double-minded man. Truth is love. Love requires truth. They're inseparable. Before I shift gears, anybody want to dip their toe into that one?
And truth has consequences.
Well, because whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, doesn't he? So when truth comes, sometimes we had a saying that I used to say regularly, sometimes God's love hurts. Right? Because when God's love comes, it's the truth. And we all know that sometimes the truth hurts. But you never, my wife, I don't use my wife. A woman will, I will. Let me use me. I'll never lose weight if I deny I'm fat. And I'll never lose weight by looking in the mirror thinking I am. The only way I'm going to lose weight is to go get on that elliptical and do it. And Tim, I went longer yesterday. Remember, I told you to set those goals. I went longer yesterday. So we got to quit believing all the lies that are around us. We got to quit just that they're everywhere. And our job is to be purveyors of the truth and speakers of the truth. And the result is that there are going to be a lot of people who aren't going to like it. Cool. I want to show you a couple things here. Some of you out there, listen again. Some of you out there, I've heard from many of you actually, who would like to join us in Washington, D.C. We are going to go to Washington, D.C. to be part of the inauguration on the 20th. We're going to arrive in Washington, D.C. on Thursday night the 19th. We have a place to stay. It's a barracks type situation. We're going to stay there. We're going to go to the inauguration early that would be Friday the 20th. There's going to be chaos there. It's going to be awesome. Be a little bit of truth. There's going to be some chaos. Then we're going to do whatever we do the rest of the day, sightsee, whatever. Then the next morning, which is Saturday morning, is this million lesbian march or whatever, feminism march. So I'm going to get in that feminism march because I'm for women's rights. I am. I'm for women having the right to stay home and raise babies. I'm for that right. Anybody? I'm for that. I'm for women having the right to choose to give their baby life rather than aborting it. I'm for all that stuff. So I guess I'll be marching in that feminism march. That's Saturday morning. And there'll be some sparks flying. I can promise you there are going to be some sparks flying at that event. And then Sunday, we are going to, it is the actual anniversary of Roe versus Wade. I hate to use that term. January 22nd, 1973. So this would be, the 44th anniversary of that dastardly, the most dastardly decision any court ever handed down history of mankind. Next to Pilate. Sending Jesus. That was probably the worst one. Well, I don't even know. Jesus at least paid his own life. Supreme Court gave a woman the right to take somebody else's life. I guess we could argue which one of those was the worst decision. That's the 22nd on Sunday, and we're going to have an event at the Supreme Court. The actual March for Life is next Thursday. We're not going to be there for that. And then we're going to jump in our car, and we're going to return home. So if you're out there, I've heard from several of you, say, Coach, I'd like to be part of it. You email me, and we'll give you the information. You can come and join us if you want to. There we have a place where you can stay if you want to. You got to bring your own sleeping bag, and et cetera, et cetera. But we'd love to have you be part of it. And some of you say, I know a lot of you have never done anything like this. Be a good chance to get your toes wet. But as Rich warned us yesterday, we have to understand we're going into enemy-held territory. We really are. And the devil and his minions, if you can't see the spiritual war that's going on, and it's not whether or not Donald Trump's a godly man, that's not the fight. The fight is over liberty, control, power. If you can't see it, if you cannot see the measures that they are going to try to keep their, it's not even about Donald Trump, trying to keep their grasp on power. If you can't see that fight, don't know what to tell you. So who knows what's going to happen, but we're going to be there, give you fair warning. It could be ugly. So I want to show you a couple things here, Jared. Go up there and put up here, it says Disrupt J20. For those of us who are going, I want us to see this.
Okay, while he's putting that up, for those that are listening instead of watching, if you want to call in and be a part of the show, dial 843-957-8180.
Larry, you're a good man. I always forget that. 843-957-8180. It's right there on the screen, but some of you are listening, so you can't see the screen. 843-957-8180. Jared just put up there. I found this. This is a Facebook link called January 20th Resist. It's by a group called Disrupt J20, Protest the Inauguration of Donald Trump. And if you look down into where it says details there, the first detail you see, it says no peaceful transition. On Friday, January 7th, Donald Trump will be inaugurated as President of the United States. We call on all people of good conscience. I guess that's not me and you and Tim and Rich. We're not people of good conscience. They're calling on others of a good conscience to join in disrupting the ceremonies. If Trump is to be inaugurated at all, let it happen behind closed doors, showing the true face of the security state. Trump will preside over. It must be made clear to those, to the whole world, that the vast majority of people in the United States do not support his presidency or consent to his rule. So these are professional agitators who are organizing others to be there. This is just a website that I found. And they called a press conference. I got a 2-minute clip here that I can play. I just want you to see this. If you wanted, if you're looking for that, go to Facebook and it's J20. Just put Disrupt J20, and there you can see everything you want to about their Facebook page there, and where they're going to go on, and they're having their own inauguration party, protest at the inauguration party, Freedom Plaza. That would be fun to be part of. A lot of things we could get into while we were there if we wanted to. But I want you to see this, Jared. Scroll on down. A lot of people can't see it. It's on their Facebook page. It says, we'll see you at the resistance meeting, Disrupt J20. So they're going to be there, and they're going to try to disrupt. They are for sure. And we're not going to there. We're not going to stop them from disrupting, but we're going to be there to be the loyal opposition to it. Next one, Jared, click on the very top. It's a little video, Anarchist. It's just 2 minutes, a real short video. I want you to be able to see the face of our enemy. And I say this over and over and over, JR, you know this. When we go to the streets, I look at our enemy and I ask this very simple question. How the heck are we losing? How are we losing? Look at these people. Look at them. 2 minutes. Go ahead and play, Jared. It's kind of hard to hear, but I just want you to get a feel.
Wait, what
are you
saying,
this march? I'm sorry. What I think is going to this inauguration, okay, for instance. A lot of people see inauguration itself as representing the peaceful transfer of power, regardless of which candidate. And I believe that's why Clinton, for instance, said she was going. Do you guys see yourselves as disrupting that part, that transfer of power? Or are you, how do you separate protesting the transfer of power versus protesting Donald Trump?
No, that's a great question, and we do see ourselves as protesting the peaceful transition of power. We are not in favor of the peaceful transition of power. You know, after the election, we saw this great upsurge of spontaneous anger in the streets and people protesting in cities all across the nation. And we saw Democratic Party luminaries from Obama to Hillary Clinton saying, tamp this down, please stop this. The peaceful transition of power is of utmost importance to the core element of democracy. To me, that says they value the continuity of government over who runs the government, be it a fascist or not. So do us mean to stop the peaceful transition of power, to stop this kind of fascist government?
Yeah, personally, I'd like to add to that I think that there's basically, our government has issues, the system that we're in has issues. Actually, I think that the people who were kind of fooled by Donald Trump actually understood that. And we see that. We know Washington, D.C. is corrupt. We actually have been activists here for a while, all of us. And so the system already is...
They need to get a job!
absolutely are close to the transition.
So that's what we're up against. These are professional. She actually said that. She didn't use the word professional, but activists. We've been activists for such a long time. Look how young these people are. Rich had to retire from his job to become an activist. Tim had to get fired from his job to become an activist. I had to get fired from my job to become an activist. JR had to retire to become an activist. And we got these young people that are being paid, and that it's an amazing world, isn't it? It is an amazing world. So I want us to know that when we go there, there is going to be unified, organized opposition.
I had to restart the computer.
Sarah, okay, cool. I just want to throw that out there for you so you guys could understand and see exactly what's going on.
You know, Coach, I said to myself about 100 times, what do I have to do to join that club? What do I have to do to join their site? And so I was thinking, what do I have to deny in my conscience? What do I have to think through to really feel a part of something like that? And for some reason, I can't go that far. It's been really interesting. I want to join their movement, but I can't deny all these other facts in my life. That makes sense?
It does make sense. And see, they're deluded by the facts, right? See, they want liberty. They don't want any tyranny from Trump, but they want their own tyranny, don't they? They want their licentiousness to be the law of the land. And so that anybody that wants to stand against their God-hating agenda, we become the tyrants. So you pick your tyrant, don't you? You just pick your tyrant. Somebody's going to say something? Yeah.
Yeah, Coach. There's only two sides. There's good and there's
only
evil.
Two sides.
There's not three sides. There's two. And is good going to oppress evil, or is evil going to oppress good?
Mm-hmm. And see, here's what we really don't get. They actually think they are right. They think they are the moral ones. They think we are the demonic ones. Do you get this? Do you understand this? What they're doing, they think is right. They don't think it's wrong. They think it's right to overturn Trump. They don't think it's wrong. They think it's right to abort a baby. They don't think it's wrong. They think we're wrong for trying to prevent the abortion of the baby. So it is a battle of two worldviews here. And again, hey, Rich, God is love and Jesus is truth. And the last thing they want is truth. They sit around in an echo chamber and they talk to each other about the same malarkey. That's what we're fighting against. Cool. Anybody?
Yeah, I got a question. You know, along with truth, just like I said a while ago, comes consequences. I'm a man. I'm a masculine man. I don't want trouble. But if I go out to Walmart today and somebody, it doesn't matter, male, female, anything, throws urine in my face, they do that because they fear no consequences.
That's right, they do. That's right.
And I got news for them. I'm a man. I don't care who you are. If you throw urine in my face, it is going to result in consequences. Sorry. I that's why they beat down men.
Jared, put that video back up. Put that video back up. Yeah, I'm with you, Rich. I want to show you something here. I want to show you. My mom always told me, because I've just take it to the beginning for me real quick, Jared. My mom always told us, because we had four boys in our family, we fought all the time. Freeze that right there. My mom always said, might doesn't make right. Honey, might doesn't make right. So what does that mean? She says, well, you can't get your way just because you're strongest. And I thought, boy, that's a great way to live. So I'm going to tell you something. Go back to the very beginning, Jared, if you can. Slide that thing back to the very beginning. Hey, Rich, I'm going to tell you something. If that guy right there throws urine in your face, he's in some serious trouble, buddy, right? If it's just you and him out on the street and there ain't nobody around to protect him, that boy is in some serious trouble. And we know this, that him throwing urine in your face is not right. And you don't have to take it. That's the way I see it. Now, Rich, in the system that we're working in, you'll be the guy that's in trouble. You'll be the one, right? We always told our guys in football, some guy punches you, don't punch back. They always catch the second guy. They'll catch the second guy. So that's why we have to have video cameras and all that kind of stuff with this, because they'll try to agitate us, try to do this. Look at that guy. That guy's demonic. Look at those. Look at. Can I tell you the truth, JR? There ain't no different in that man and those women. There ain't no difference. They're the same. What's that word they call when there's no sex? They're not asexual. They're whatever. That's what they are. That's what they want to create. They want to create a society where men and women look, think, and act the same. That's one of the things we're fighting against. Okay, so let's be prepared. And while we're getting to prepared, go to Genesis chapter 3, because I want to show you something there. Androgynous. Thanks, Chris. Androgynous. That's what they want. Sexless men. Rich men who will permit urine to be thrown in their face. That's what they want. Hey, Rich. That's what Christianity's given us. Sadly. Saying that's okay. Well, we have to lead them to the Lord. Do we really? Well, we have to give them the truth and hope that the truth sets them free. I'm in Genesis 3. I was thinking about this. I got some stuff I want to show you here today. Let's just read this, and then I want to comment when I get through reading it. Genesis 3, verse 1. This is the Adam and Eve story. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, hath God said ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, no, we can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Trees, plural, right? But of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, don't eat that. Don't even touch it, lest you die. So the devil finds out she knows the word. And so the serpent said unto the woman, oh, really? You're not going to die. You're not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye. See, the food, the tree was more than just food, wasn't it? She saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. So she took of the fruit thereof and did eat it, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, let me ask you something. What kind of apple, what kind of fruit would make you understand good and evil? What does that mean? And we've always believed that it was something that Eve ate, when in fact, it could be something Eve participated in. It could have been something Eve experienced. And when the writer of Genesis wrote Genesis, he's trying to write it in a way that we would understand, and they called it the forbidden fruit, but it wasn't. What is fruit? What is fruit? Fruit is anything that grows on a tree, a plant. If it's a plant, it's a vegetable. It was called the forbidden fruit. But is it possible that forbidden fruit that opened the eyes of Eve and Adam wasn't really something they ate, or rather something they did? And boy, does that open up a whole different realm.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I don't hate to do this. I have to do this. If you notice in verse 3 of what you just read, Eve added to what God said. Eve misapplied or misquoted what God had told her. God told her, don't eat of the tree.
Right.
He said, we're not supposed to eat of it or even touch it. She added the even touch it part.
Gotcha.
So part of her iniquity, part of her wrongdoing was adding to what God had said. Now, the word of God says it's talking about eating of the fruit, you know, not the fruit, but eating of this tree. It doesn't mention the word fruit. It says eating of this tree.
Right, right.
So if it says eating of the tree, then I accept it as eating of the tree. Now, there may be corollary or parallel applications, but let's not exclude that one.
Gotcha. I understand. But again, I'm thinking of what gave her knowledge. Something happened there in the garden that gave her knowledge. And isn't it amazing? I didn't get this anywhere. I just got this from studying some other writings and stuff like that. Was this a sexual experience outside the bonds of what the limits that the Lord had set? And could that have begun the whole mess up of this whole, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man? Could that have been? Does that sound heretical? I don't want to be a heretic, but it's hard for me to believe that just eating an apple would bring all of this damnation. Just eating, taking a bite. I understand disobedience. I understand that, the fruit of disobedience. I get that. But as Larry said, she disobeyed when she added to the word, when she added to it. So this thing of disobedience is broader, more than just eating an apple, in my opinion. Anybody have a comment on that? Because I got something else I want to show you here.
You think God is going to condemn mankind for thinking or touching a fruit hanging from a tree? There's more to make the.
It's got to be deeper than that, doesn't it? It has to be deeper than that.
It's much deeper.
It certainly has to do with disobedience. I don't deny that. It's some disobedience, but it's more than just eating an apple.
Yeah, then how did the seed of the evil get come into the human race? I mean, there's a whole lot more to it.
There's a lot to it, man.
It's time for us to wake up, Coach. It's time to wake up.
That's all I'm saying. And listen, I want everybody to understand when you watch this show, everything I'm saying is not necessarily I'm not trying to lie to you. I'm simply asking questions because answers are found with questions. That's all I'm trying to say. So those of you who are ready to hang up on me because you didn't agree with it. So I got something I want to veer into the little bit of the tinfoil hat stuff today because I had something that popped into my realm of knowledge over the last 24 hours that I thought I need to bring to the table. And Jared, if you can, I want you to go down, Jared, where it says government lifts ban. And pop that thing up there for us. Do you guys know what a chimera is? A chimera? Do you guys know what a chimera is?
Yes.
Chimera. Chimera. That's right. I didn't have any idea what it was until about 4 years ago. You know what a chimera is, Tim? A chimera is a mixture of human and animal DNA, and it creates. An animal that is part human, as crazy as that sounds, huh? It sounds crazy, but it's going on. It's been going on for years and years and years. And it's being done under the guise of medical research, growing human parts in pigs to cure diseases. Right? Sounds good. Well, heck yeah! You mean we can grow heart valves in pigs and it'll save human lives? Oh well, good, good, good. Praise the Lord! Let's do that. So what happens here? We see August 4th, 2016, on your screen, the NIH, which is the National Institution of Health, plans to lift the ban on research funds for part human, part animal embryos. What do you even say? What do you mean a part human, part animal embryo. What the heck is that? Well, that's called a
chimera.
Chimera. And it comes from the term, it was a Greek mythological creature, a chimera, mixing of DNA, part human, part animal. Well, boys and girls, they're doing it right now in the lab. They're doing it right now in the lab. In the National Institute for Health, by the way, it says here they plan to lift the ban. They just lifted the ban. Sarah, you seem agitated. What do you want to share there?
They've been doing it in the UK for the last 15 plus years, where human or cows in laboratories have been mixed with human eggs, fertilized eggs. They take out a certain small percentage and inject cow DNA so that the embryo, for lack of a better term, would not be rejected by the cow, and they are placed back into the cow's uterus and allowed to grow. And every now and then they'll post this on, you know, all over the place in news places, stating that, oh, they don't let the thing, the chimera, go to full fruition, that they abort it before. Yep. And this has been going on a long time. China boasts openly about what it's done. On the side over here, they have cows now that make human breast milk.
So Chris wrote over here on the side that the UN is looking into right now whether or not these chimeras have rights. Because they are part human, you understand? And they're going to come to the conclusion that no, they don't have rights. So if chimeras, part human, part animal, don't have rights, then it's open season on DNA. And don't ever doubt this. Don't ever doubt this. This research isn't to find cures for diseases. Oh, there might be some guys that are doing that. That may have been the apple they first bit on. Are you with me? That might have been the first apple to try to cure diseases. But as soon as Russ Dizdar gets healed, we get him back on the show, and he starts talking again about MK Ultras and super soldiers and what they're getting ready to do to us through the DNA process, and all of a sudden this is going to begin to make a lot more sense to us. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Are you with me? Am I scaring anybody yet?
Well, they're even trying to, there's a group of trying to make sure that robots have constitutional protection and rights. Yeah.
Well, if they can say a baby doesn't have a right, I guess they can determine whatever they want. What do you think, Tim?
Well, you know, the Bible says that he who lives by the sword is going to die by the sword. Well, I hate to say it, but I live by the Glock. And I'm going down by the Glock.
Yeah.
The way it is. Either you could hang separately or you could hang together, you know?
That's right. That's right. But see, there's hope. One of these things they're trying to do, though, Tim, is create what these immortal – see, we're calling it transhuman. You've heard those terms, haven't you, folks? Transhumanism. And you go to your local – I can promise you this. You go to your local movie theater, and there is a show on transhumans. I promise you. What do you think video games are all about? The transhumanism in video games that we're teaching our little kids, and they're shooting these. What do you think of when you used to go to McDonald's and you got those Transformers, those little kids' toys, and it went from being a man, you twisted and twisted and twisted, and the next thing you know, there's a big old, you know what I'm talking about, right? Transhumanism. Oh, my goodness, because why? Seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And what has the devil been after from the very beginning? The seed. He's attacking the seed in so many different situations, so many different places. And so what they're going to remember, oh, Lord, thank you. There are going to be things come upon the earth, the Bible tells us, that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. What would that possibly be? Could it be some creature that you'd never, ever, what the heck is that thing that you're looking at? He's got big teeth. And could it be that these new transhuman DNA messed with creatures become the army? And so we'll have non-humans fighting. Wow. What do you think, JR? As you ponder this, am I way out there on my tinfoil hat reservation? Well, I don't know. Let's do this. Let's play this 3-minute video, Jared. It says, Chimera's Science. It's only 3 minutes. Hey, folks, this is all out there. It's all out there for us to see right now. It's all out there. And we're worried about Meryl Streep. We're worried about Meryl Streep. And meanwhile, all this other stuff's going on. This is a 3-minute video. This ain't. Go ahead, Jared. This is real stuff.
In the world of organ donation, if someone desperately needs a transplant but they don't receive one in time, they die. But what if the sick were no longer reliant on organ donors to survive? That's a future we could soon be living in, according to new research by reproductive biologist Pablo Ross. In what could be a medical breakthrough, Dr. Ross removes the gene from pig embryos that makes their pancreas, then injects those embryos with human stem cells in an attempt to prove a pig can grow the human organ. And because the stem cells can be made from an adult human skin cells, any organ that grows would exactly match the human genetic source. In a way, this is creating a two-species hybrid, or chimera. Dr. Ross addressed the controversy over this new field of research, saying, quote,
"We're not trying to make a chimera just because we want to see this kind of, you know, monstrous creature. We're doing this for a, you know, biomedical purpose. I don't consider that we're playing God or even close to that. We're just trying to use the technologies that we have developed to improve people's life."
One of the arguments against this research is that the injected stem cells could go anywhere inside of the embryo. They could grow into a pancreas as intended, but they could also grow into some other organ, like a brain, potentially creating an animal with human-like brain function. Of course, at this point we have no idea how a pig with a human mind would behave or what its needs would be.
One of the concerns that a lot of people have is that there's something sacrosanct about what it means to be human expressed in our DNA, and that by inserting that into other animals and giving those animals potentially some of the capacities of humans, that this could be a kind of violation, a kind of maybe even playing God.
But Dr. Ross argues he too is concerned about this and is only allowing the embryos to develop for 28 days before removing and dissecting them. Quote,
"We're very aware and very sensitive to the ethical concerns. One of the reasons we're doing this research the way we're doing it is because we want to provide scientific information to inform those concerns."
For now, the National Institutes of Health has imposed a moratorium on funding while they explore
the ethics
of chimera research. The U.S. Defense Department, though, is funding the project, which raises an entirely different set of questions. But leaving aside the possibility of chimera soldiers for now, there are many other ethical questions. What if a chimera escaped or was smuggled out of the lab and began breeding with other animals? The spread of human-animal DNA could be rampant. Also, if humans are so closely genetically related to pigs that our body parts can be grown inside of them, is it still ethical to use pigs for research? Or to eat them? Despite the dangers of further diluting our sense of humanity with this type of research, our species has a long history of putting self-interest ahead of ethical and moral concerns. And, like the future that has surely been envisioned by some sci-fi writer, one can imagine how the seductive possibility of extending our already long lives could result in a future where factory farms are filled with pigs that not only provide us meat, but also beating hearts, kidneys, livers, and lungs. Thanks for watching. What do you think about this philosophically challenging topic? And a special thanks to Rob Stein and All Things Considered, whose full 8-minute segment this video was.
Yeah. You know what I think of immediately when I was watching this, Rich? Jurassic Park. Anybody remember Jurassic Park? And that big old fat guy snuck out of there with a vial. You remember that, right? Because there's a good side to everything, right? There's a good side to everything. But Hey, JR, right up your alley. You ready for this one, JR? When they take our kids in school and they teach kids that they're just animals, that life has no meaning, and there's nothing special about a human being or a human soul, when they teach you to love your dog as much as you love your child, brother, this isn't a very far leap, is it? This is not a very large leap for us to begin to not only dishonor human beings more, but humans, animals, same thing.
Hey, Coach?
Yes?
As far back as in 1958, my dad was stationed in Sweden. I lived over there with him. There were 17 American families that lived in the Stockholm area, you know, the ambassador and various other families. One of those 17 families was a doctor, a medical doctor by the name of Bosma, Dr. Peter Bosma. The U.S. government sent him to Sweden to do studies and to do research in exactly what you're talking about, human-animal reproduction, because it was allowed in Sweden at that time. It wasn't in the United States. So our government has been involved in this at least since 1958, and I can tell you that from personal knowledge.
Yeah, but they always do the best thing. They'll do what's best for us. What do you think, Sarah?
I put up on the side, it reminds me more of The Island of Dr. Moreau, which was written by H.G. Wells in the 1896. So it's been around a lot, possibly longer than that. But the technology has caught up with the idea.
Or, Sarah, let me veer into an area nobody wants to go. See, does this whole idea of mixing DNA go back to Genesis 6 and the Nephilim? See, are we seeing a return to the days of?
Yes.
See, you see what I'm.
Yes.
That's what I said. Are we sure Eve just ate an apple, or was it something far worse than just eating an apple that would make all of this? It was such a horrible crime that all of it was so bad the Lord had to boot him out. So I'm sorry, you can't be in here.
But Coach, so if she ate it, then if she produced something, what about Adam? He ate it too.
Mm. Oh, anybody's head spinning but mine? Help me out here, JR.
Hey, where's PETA when you need them?
Yeah, we know where they are. Don't we?
You know, Coach, this is too much. You know what my wife tells me?
What's that?
You know what? Just leave me alone. I want to watch Singing with the Stars.
Yeah, I don't want to see that stuff. Man. I don't see that. Okay, so I got something I got to show you. Just cause I got eight minutes. It's going to be 8 minutes. Steve Quayle. I love Steve Quayle. Steve Quayle's producing a new movie. In fact, we were talking about it before he went on air. This is an 8-minute clip. We maybe cut it down. This is a trailer to this new movie that Steve Quayle's making. I don't know if you guys know Steve. I consider him a friend, a straight-up guy. It's pretty powerful. 8 minutes. Go ahead, Jared. Talking about a hollow earth. You can't see it. A hollow earth.
Hollywood is nothing but a mind projecting and controlling consortium of devils, demons, fallen angels and their willing earthly accomplices. As a good example of that is Los Angeles, you know, the city of the angels. Why would they associate Los Angeles with City Angels? Now, I went to school in California. I remember Father Unipera Serra and all the, you know, the Catholic churches up and down the California coast, etc. But if you notice where Hollywood's located, the City of Angels, well, I got news for you. I actually accept that, but it's a city of fallen angels. Everything that Hollywood is producing, whether it be in video games, movies, everything that they do, specials on TV, it's getting darker and darker and darker, more demonic, and even again, what's fascinating, I don't know if people have seen it, but now even on the internet there are pictures of Lady Gaga and a what's her name, the woman who's very pronounced now that worships Satan, the goat head, looking over a cadaver in what looks like caramel sauce, and with the context of they're going to eat it. John Podesta, you know, see, this is why people have got to understand the headlines of today go right back to what we're talking about underneath the ground, okay? And even when this video comes out, it's going to be with more revelations. The timing, again, Justin, couldn't be more perfect, because what people are seeing, what they used to be able to blow off as us just being crazy people or fearmongers or blah, 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 we're showing them where the headlines today were written literally millennia before. So what are we going to expect? We're going to expect cannibalism to be so not only cliche, it will become cliche, but it'll be the newest thing, you know. Take your brother to lunch and you only have to pay, you know, pay for one meal. The point is that if I didn't put some attempt at humor in this stuff, it is so beyond the mind of mortal men to encompass evil on this level. I believe as Dmitry Dudeman was given the vision, mighty visions of God, of the destruction of America and the rest of the world and the rise of Antichrist and everything else. But one of the things the angel told him, I have never left my spirit, is that the mind of man cannot even begin to embrace or even understand the evil that's coming upon us. So that's why, you know, someone redeemed by Jesus Christ, who is been led down this path by the Lord, been called to warn people. A watchman says, a watchman sees this stuff coming. God never said you can only look to the east or the west, you know, but you need to look down, you need to look up. Our redemption comes from up, but, you know, when the ideas of today's headlines, video games, I'm not a gamer, but from what I hear in my emails and people write to me who are, you cannot separate the supernatural element of giants, monsters, angels, all of the, it all centers around witchcraft and warcraft. All centers around witchcraft and warcraft. Now, if there are, you know, people out there trying to do Christian videos, I don't know, meaning in the gaming world, but
Go back just a little bit, Jared. I'll send you this video. You can watch it. I don't want to. We just got a few minutes left. It's more of the same. But I want you to notice right there, Jared. Stop there. Look at the right there. Look at the sculpture over his shoulder there. Soldiers and giants. Huh? I don't know where this is filmed, but Steve has written several books on the Nephilim and the fact that they were real. And so are these days coming back again? Is this kind of stuff coming back again? So again, we'll send you this link. It's only about 8 minutes. Steve goes on, talks about the rest. He's producing a movie on the hollow earth. The fact that there's something going on, as we said earlier, down in Antarctica, something going on down there. Is the earth hollow? Is that where hell really is? What the heck is going on? And we can call this tinfoil hat stuff if we want to. But boy, oh boy, makes you want to scratch your head. Real quickly, JR, what you got coming up tomorrow, JR?
Coach, do you know that over 200 years ago, the main influences in our nation were two things, the family and the church. Now we've got businesses, we've got the media, we've got the government, and we've got the entertainment industry that are all competing for our attention, and they're all forming a moral code. Those moral codes are attacking the natural family.
They are.
We've already established what the natural family is. Why is it important? Why is it important to try to protect that natural family?
That's tomorrow at, go to mmunited.org, mmunited.org from 10 to noon here, Eastern Standard Time.
They can catch you on the same phone number that they catch your show here this morning as well.
Same number. Listen on the same line. Any reaction? Are we off the edge? Am I running down that tinfoil hat thing again? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Dave, here in Peru, there's a group, a cultic group that's trying to set up an embassy for aliens, for when the aliens return. It's a real thing. I mean, they've got plans drawn out, you know, plans for the building and everything. So these people are preparing for things.
And see, listen, whether it's real or not, it's real to them.
Exactly.
We got to understand that. Whether it's real or not, it is real to them. And so we are guided by our belief system, our Christian biblical belief system. We are all on this queue. We're driven by that. That's what shapes us. Do you understand that other people are just as committed and just as driven and just as shaped by a contrary belief system? And that in the mind of the evil ones, if they really want to destroy humanity and destroy, if the devil really, if this war of the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman is real, don't you understand that the devil wants to destroy Christ and his followers? Don't we understand this? And that they're doing everything that they can do to serve their daddy. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father that you will do. And for too long, Tim, we haven't believed that the other team's even practicing. And they're taking all this technology just like Eve in the garden. God said, hey, Eve, don't mess with that DNA stuff. Don't be messing with that. And she said, why? Why not? Why can't I be messing with that? Because if you do it, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to see stuff you ain't going to believe. She said, well, let me try that. Are we replaying that again right now before our very eyes? Couple minutes left. Somebody bail me out here. No bailouts?
No. Coach, I just want to add this. The idea that the mere act of eating something God told Adam and Eve not to eat could produce all the evil and everything that has come down is just as valid as the idea that this crucifixion and the death of Jesus on the cross takes care of the sins of the world. Neither one is more extreme than the other.
I agree. I'm not making light of whether it was an apple or not. I'm just saying, could it have been more than that? It was a forbidden fruit. What was that forbidden fruit? Whatever she did brought some pretty awful stuff into us, whether it was eating an apple or consuming something else that she had an appetite for. Let me leave it as that. They throw me out of most churches thinking I'm a heretic. I'm just thinking, man. I'm just trying to think. Let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. Okay. I got more to do, but I don't have time to do it. Any closing thoughts from anybody?
Yeah. If you don't love the truth, you're done for eternity.
Because God is love, isn't he? And God, Jesus, is truth. Truth and God are the same thing, man. It's, wow.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Just kind of an observation. The first emotion that they felt was fear of God.
Hmm.
Right? Hmm. It was fear anyway.
Yeah.
That's the first emotion. Fear.
Well, yeah. When they thought they hid themselves, didn't they?
They hid from God.
they hid from God. They were afraid. They hid from the truth. They hid from all that stuff. Man, oh man. Fascinating. Well, have a great weekend. I always say the day. It's the 13th. Is this Friday the 13th? No wonder we're tinfoil and hatting it this morning. Friday the 13th. Have a great weekend. Stay dry, stay warm, stay whatever. We'll see you here on Monday morning. God bless you. JR tomorrow, 10 a.m.